If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open them to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. There is a YouVersion Bible event for this, so you can follow along there just as easily if you would like to. Luke 17 is where we'll be in a short time. You know, when Jack and Marilyn Gardlock, who Marilyn is here, she's looking, what are you going to say about me? When they were trying to sell their cottage at Mahaffey, Jack said, would you help me get the word out? I want to sell this cottage. And it was then that I realized it is really hard, or it was really hard, to move a cottage at Mahaffey, not physically move it, but to sell a cottage at Mahaffey. Because while there were people who wanted to buy cottages and there were people who wanted to sell cottages, it was really hard to connect the dots there. If you wanted to buy a cottage, you would call the office and they would say, I think I saw one with a for sale sign in it. And it was just a hard thing to do. How would anyone know that Jack was selling his cottage? And so I put together a website, and I listed cottages for sale there just to help Jack out. And you know, if you've ever put together a website, the hard part is putting it together. The easy part is maintaining it. So once Jack has sold his cottage, I kept running that website. It's still running to this day. There's no charge. There are dozens of cottages that have changed hands through the years there. It's never been a difficult thing to do. The instructions are there. People send me a picture, and they send me the information and their contact information. Pastor Steve, or Steve, if they don't know me as pastor, would you please put this on the website? Thank you for doing this. We really appreciate it, and so on. And it's always been pretty much a positive experience until one time this year. And one time this year, I don't know if it was just the mood I was in or what it was, but there was a guy that sent me an email with a picture of the cottage, his description, and his contact information. Nothing else. No, would you list this? Would you please list this? Thank you for listing this. Just the data. Here! I don't know, it's probably the mood I was in. Do you ever read emails in the mood you're in? And so I said, okay, and I put it together. It took me maybe 5 minutes to do. And then when I wrote back to him, I said, here's your listing, make sure it says what you want to say. And then I wrote those words, you're welcome. Because he didn't say please, and I assumed he's not going to say thank you. And I think I shamed him into saying thank you, because when he wrote back, he said, thank you, may the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, shalom. I mean, he gave me a blessing as a result of that. So it made me chuckle. I think I made him feel guilty, right? Have you ever been in that guy's shoes? I mean, have you ever been the one where someone does something gracious for you or offers you a good service that's free of charge, and then after a short pause, they look at you. You didn't say thank you. They look at you and say, you're welcome. Man, that's happened to me. It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? When you forget to say thank you. But, you know, I'm not going to say you're in good company. I'm going to say you're probably with the majority. At least the majority of the people in the passage we're going to read today forgot to say thank you. So we're going to read Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 11. We're going to read through verse 19. Follow along as I read, please. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when he saw them, he said, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? And then Jesus said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now today, as we approach the Thanksgiving holiday, I want to encourage you to be thankful. But not just on Thanksgiving. I want to encourage you to always be thankful. I want you to actually choose thankfulness. And there are a lot of reasons to do that. The most basic reason is just raw obedience. We're to have thankful hearts. Okay, I'll have a thankful heart. But I want to kind of step you beyond the raw obedience and tell you that there's some other really good reasons to choose to be a thankful person. And the first reason I want to share with you is that it combats the blues when you are thankful. Everyone feels down in the dumps at times. And often, for me, the primary reason I feel down in the dumps is because I have stopped remembering all the good things that God has given me. I haven't been counting my blessings. If I open my eyes and see those good things, I can actually kind of feel the dark cloud of depression lifting from my heart. Actually, it seems that being thankful helps me develop what you might think of as an abundance mentality. Think about that phrase, an abundance mentality. Like, there's a lot that God has given me. There's a lot here. I have an abundance. Generally, when it comes to resources, people operate from one of two positions. Either we have that mentality that God has given me so much and I am so blessed and there's such abundance, or we operate from the other position that says resources are in short supply and we live with sort of a sense of scarcity or a scarcity mentality. Now, scarcity, honestly, is probably pretty rare for people like you and me because you and I live in a nation of abundance. And we all go through hard times. Maybe we need some help financially here and there, but we live in a pretty good place. So scarcity is kind of rare for us. And even as believers, we know God takes care of us, that he is able to meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. But I'm guessing that was not the case for these lepers. I'm guessing they never thought that they were in a world of abundance where they were just really blessed. Leprosy was like a badge that they had to wear that kept them separated from all society. It was considered contagious. And so you couldn't go near them. You wouldn't go near them. They were unclean. They might even be dangerous. Stay away. Don't look at that guy. Don't even make eye contact with him. Because whatever disease it is he has, you don't want. Stay away from him. And so think about that. That would force them into a social position of having to beg because they couldn't get a job and having to scavenge for their food. And even the clothes they would wear, they would have to find. They couldn't go buy some from somebody. And they would sleep in the worst of conditions. No wonder there were the 10 of them together. It was almost like a leper colony that Jesus stumbled upon as he was traveling. Yeah, I don't think they would have an abundance mentality at all. They would have a scarcity mentality. And everything about a scarcity mentality damages. It damages relationships. It damages your finances because you're hoarding it rather than investing it. It keeps you from living well. It damages you. So here's these 10, and they're in this worldview that says, oh, we are not blessed. We are just have to hold on to everything we have. And Jesus comes along and heals all 10 of them. And now they really don't have to have that mentality any longer. They can actually become part of society. They can get jobs. They can have homes. They can have families. The whole world has opened to them. And that would change your outlook. But it probably wouldn't change your outlook as thoroughly as it should if you aren't thankful for what you've received, because you'll be stuck in that scarcity mode. Thankful people notice and remember the abundance of God's blessing. Unthankful people don't. Thankful people feel secure that God is going to keep taking care of me. Unthankful people don't. Thankful people sleep well, trusting in God's abundant provision. Unthankful people, well, they don't. When I am not sleeping well at night because I'm worried about this and that and the other thing, often it's because I'm living from a scarcity mentality instead of remembering the abundance of God's provision in my life. Being thankful helps me have an abundance mentality, and it even changes how I feel about myself. It makes me feel good about myself. Now, let me say this. Once you have seen your sin, and once you have turned away from that sin and trusted Jesus for forgiveness, and you begin following him. I'm a follower of Jesus. He saved me. He's forgiven me. He's removed my shame. God doesn't want you to wallow in self-recrimination after that. He has freed you from that. And if the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. And he wants to see yourself as being changed, being made alive, being a new creation, having life in Christ. And when you choose to be thankful, you feel that in a very personal and genuine way. You feel a joy that comes with your faith. I've mentioned before that I often write letters to people who have helped me in the past. Letters, you know, not emails. Letters. I've written them to teachers, multiple teachers from grade school and high school. I've written them to pastors, men who are retired now, who have made an impact in my life. I've written them to relatives who have invested in my life. My brother-in-law, for example. Thank you for this. Send that off to him. I remember one of the first ones I ever wrote, this letter expressing thankfulness for the investment in my life, was to a teacher whose name was Esther Mercatoris. Wow, what a name that is. Mercatoris, right? She had been kind enough when I was in junior high to look me in the eye and say, "You have a character issue." Really? I was so ticked off. I didn't like hearing that at all. But she was dead on. And I began to change, slowly, as a result of that conversation. Actually, I look at it and realize it was a defining moment in my life. And so I thought, about 10 years ago, I should look her up and write her a letter to thank her. And you got to know, the name Esther Mercatoris appears on Google one time. It's in a church bulletin down in eastern Pennsylvania. I called the secretary of the church, told her what I wanted to do, and she was suspicious. She's protecting Esther Mercatoris. I said, "Look, I'll send a letter to the church, and I won't seal it. You open it and read it, and if you find it offensive, throw it away." I got a real nice letter back from Esther saying thank you for saying thank you. I wonder if she thought, where are the other nine? You know? Here's a weird thing that happened as a result of that. I'm not sure who was more blessed by that. If Esther was blessed by the letter I wrote her, or if I was blessed by writing the letter, because I felt like $1 million when I put the stamp on that and put it in the mail. Because when you choose to be thankful, there is something about that that combats the blues. And it gives you an abundance mentality. I wonder if the nine remained in a scarcity mode, while number 10 had the abundance mentality. Here's a second thing that choosing to be thankful does. It changes you and it makes you a blessing to someone else. Have you ever heard the phrase, "He's a self-made man"? Have you heard that phrase? It's the phrase that we use to speak of someone who went into business for himself and without the help of another. It's not like his grandpa gave him money or, you know, somebody else gave him this or that or the other thing. Without the help of another, he did really well and he's successful now. And that's how I see that phrase. I want to suggest to you there's no such thing. I want to suggest to you there's no such thing as a self-made man. And I want to say to you that seeing yourself as self-made won't make you thankful, it won't make you a blessing to others at all. And I first began to realize that in a profound way when I read Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. Gladwell suggests from one chapter to the next that these outliers, and what that means is these exceptional people, and he's talking about successful people, that they actually have been helped along the way by people in many cases and simply by circumstances in other cases. For example, Bill Gates. Gladwell writes extensively about this founder of Microsoft Corporation, and he says you might think of him as a self-made man, but he's not really. Because Gladwell points out that Gates found some breaks that happened to him along the way, either through relationships or just by being lucky along the way. Listen to what he says. He says that Gates happened to live in the right place. He didn't live in rural Pennsylvania, where the closest college is Lock Haven. He lived where there was a university that had one of two or three supercomputers that filled a whole room, you know, one of those big old computers back in the 70s, happened to be within walking distance of Bill Gates' childhood home. On top of that, Bill Gates happened to have parents that didn't notice when he would slip out the window at 1 o'clock in the morning and go down and play with that computer. Other parents might have noticed that, but Bill Gates happened to be in a place where that privilege was afforded to him. On top of that, Bill Gates happened to be at a university, living near a university where he could sneak out of his house and go down to the computer lab, and he found favor with the guy that had the keys. And the guy that had the keys let him in there to play with that computer. And on top of that, when corporate America came to that university and said, "We'd like to use this computer to do this," and no one else knew how to do it, a little kid knew how to do that because he had played with the computer. And you can see that through that experience, Bill Gates didn't do a lot of the things that made him successful. Circumstances played a huge role in that. Parents played a huge role in that. Security guards played a huge role in that. Computer lab personnel, even fate, or I would say even God, played a huge role in that success. He was not self-made. He was a hard worker. He was a smart guy. But there were a lot of other elements that went in for which Bill Gates should be thankful. So it is with these lepers. They're not self-made or self-healed. All they did was cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, have pity on us. Have mercy on us." That's all he did. Jesus did the healing. And that should make one thankful. Even you and the things that you have and the things you take pride in are not of your own making exclusively. If you were honest, you would realize that others have contributed to your life and circumstances have contributed to your life and God has contributed to your life. And when you realize that, you begin to develop a sense of thankfulness. And thankful people are people who bless other people. Thankful people bless other people. Ungrateful people, unthankful people, they're not generally a blessing. But thankful people are a blessing. This one leper who came back, he's a blessing. He was a blessing to Jesus. I mean, Jesus says, "Oh, where are the other nine?" But you got to know Jesus is really happy to see the one that's there. And so that guy's a blessing to Jesus. And on top of that, he's a blessing to the people around because they're all observing like, "Hey, yeah, that's right. It is really rude not to be thankful." And so their lives are changed. And here we are 2,000 years later. Your life and my life are enhanced because we have this picture of this one guy who chose to be thankful, and it stirs within our heart a realization that we need to be thankful and bless other people. When we choose to be thankful, we tend to bless other people. We do it in a lot of different ways. You hear about it, sometimes you hear this phrase, giving back to the community. Have you heard that phrase? When we say that phrase, what we're saying is this person realizes that the things that he or she has are things that the community has given to them. They realize that there's something bigger than themselves. Maybe I'm not a self-made man or woman after all. And in that thankfulness of spirit, they say, "Let me bless other people." Because when you choose thankfulness, it changes you. It makes you a blessing. Here's a third reason, besides pure obedience, to choose to be thankful. It tends to bring you closer to Jesus. And isn't that really where you want to be? I mean, isn't that why you're here right now, this morning? Because you want to get closer to God. I mean, you know, why do people come to church? Okay, you might come to church to see your friends. Good. I think you should. That's a good thing. But is that the only reason? And you might say, "Well, I come to church because I want my kids to learn about God." Okay, yeah, but please, it doesn't stop there, right? It's you too. It's you too who wants to grow spiritually. Or do you come to church for the music? I love how Pastor Steve belts out those hymns in the morning. The second service will understand that, coming for the music better than you maybe, right? Although our musicians do a fine job. Do you come just because it's good seats? Do you come just out of habit? Here's why we should come. We should come because we want to draw closer to God. I come to church because I want to get closer to God. And being thankful really helps me to get closer to God. It helps me to trust Him more. Look at verse 16. It says, "This leper threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?'" And look at verse 19. "Then Jesus said to him, 'Rise up, go, your faith has made you well.'" Let me just kind of paraphrase that. Jesus is saying, "Get up and go. You trusted me, and now you're well." And if Jesus said that to you, "You trusted me, and here's this blessing," how would that affect your tendency to trust Him in the future? Man, it would affect mine. If I were to hear Jesus say, "Steve, you trusted me, here's this blessing," I would say, man, I will trust you any day of the week. That would be my response to that. But only the thankful guy gets to hear that. Only the thankful guy really has that kind of significant increase in his ability to trust God. Being thankful gives you more and more reasons to trust God and to be thankful. It kind of multiplies. You remember the guy at the beginning of the story? The guy who sent me, here's my cottage, here's the information, here's my contact number. Just put it all out there. And remember, I kind of shamed him. You're welcome. Remember? Right? I kind of feel guilty about that, and I kind of don't. Because I hope it kind of alerted him to his need to be thankful. And I hope it helped him become a man who doesn't walk away after receiving something good without paying the debt of thankfulness. And I hope I've done the same for you today. I hope this morning that you thought, man, just out of raw obedience, I should say thank you to God. Thank you, Jesus. But I should do it as well, because he blesses in many ways when we do. I'd like to just pray that we would be thankful people, and not just on Thanksgiving, but throughout our lives. So as Steve comes to the piano, would you please stand and unite your hearts with me in prayer? Let's bow our hearts. Father in heaven, we are thankful. Thankful for a God who loves us and sent Jesus to die for our sins. We are thankful for one who while we were yet sinners, died for us. We are thankful that we don't have to earn our way and earn your love, but you offer it freely. We are thankful for health. We are thankful for food. We are thankful for air to breathe. We are thankful for family. We are thankful for church family. We are thankful for all good things that come from your hand. Please remind us to be thankful and help us to bless others as a result of our thankfulness. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.